Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message.
When we read the Bible, it's clear that God loves the world. All of it. In the book of John, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God desires that we, his church, would carry on Jesus' mission of transforming the world by sharing his love in word and deed to the ends of the earth. But how do we practically and effectively love the whole world when we are just one local church? When we launched Relevant Community Church, we felt God leading us to focus on one people group for our global impact ministry, and to make as much of an impact on this one people group as possible. We asked God to show us a people group that we could engage both globally and here in Omaha. He led us to the Karen people from Burma.
Well, welcome to Global Impact Sunday. If I've never met you before, my name is Ronnie. I'm the lead pastor here at Relevant. We do Global Impact Sunday every year to help keep us focused on and relentless about Jesus' final statement to us, his followers, his church. 40 days after Jesus' death and resurrection, he gathered his small community of followers, his church together one final time before he physically ascended into heaven. And Matthew and Luke recorded his final words. And these final words from Jesus are so significant. It's as if he was saying to them, "Hey, I saved the most important thing for last. And I'm saving this for last so that you don't forget." This is the exclamation point. Don't forget what I'm about ready to say to you. And here's what he said. "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me." And they believed all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him because they saw him die on a cross and then rise from the grave. "Therefore," Jesus said, "go and make disciples." Go and make other followers of Christ of all nations, of all other people groups all throughout the world, baptizing them for them to publicly proclaim they put their faith in me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now notice, according to Jesus, living for his mission and experiencing his presence today, they're connected, they're dependent. And Jesus' audience, they knew how Jesus would be with them and how Jesus would be with us was by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, residing within us after we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. However, at this point when Jesus said these words, he hadn't sent his Spirit to reside in anyone yet because he was still physically present. Well, Luke, in Acts chapter 1, recorded an additional final statement that Jesus made that Matthew didn't record. And here's what Jesus said. "But you," once again, this is plural, speaking to his church, his followers, not to an individual, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." He's saying, hey, the same Spirit that rose me from the dead is going to reside in you individually and together and will fill you with power individually and together. And because my Holy Spirit resides in all y'all, you will be my witnesses, my ambassadors, my sent ones in Jerusalem." That was their local community, just like Elkhorn's our local community. "And in Judea and Samaria," those were the surrounding areas. That's Council Bluffs. We don't go there. "And to the ends of the earth." In short, the final thing Jesus communicated is that our ultimate purpose as Jesus' church, as his followers, is to carry on Jesus' mission. I mean, Jesus himself said that the entire reason our Heavenly Father sent him was to come on a mission to seek and save those who are lost, those who have a broken relationship with Holy Creator God because of their violation of sin against him. And that's all of you, and that's me. on a mission to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against him, to forgive us of our sin, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and in the next, to offer us eternal life and to transform us now into everything God's created us to be, on a mission to transform the world by ushering in God's kingdom. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for, and that's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he can do. And right before he physically left this earth, the last thing he said to his church, to you and to me, was your ultimate purpose as my followers is to be my body and carry on the mission that I came for, that I died on the cross for, that I rose from the grave for. And the primary reason that I am sending my spirit to fill you individually and together is so that he fills you with power in order to actually be able to carry on my mission. So go and transform the world for me, and surely as you do, I will be with you. And here's what this means, all this means. What it means is that Jesus, this is so cool, has a divine purpose for us. He has a divine purpose for Relevant Community Church. Jesus has called us as a church into existence to carry on his mission of transforming the world locally and to the ends of the earth. But how in the world do we do that? I mean, how can we be a part of transforming the world? I mean, how do we carry on Jesus' mission to the ends of the earth? We're just one church. Well, the reality is we aren't called to do it all by ourselves. It's not possible for us to do this by ourselves. We're just one small local church. But we are, as a church, called to do our part. And that's why we as a church have chosen to have a laser focus on one people group. And the people group that we are focused on going to the ends of the earth for are the Karen people. At Relevant, we are for the Karen people from Burma. The Karen people have been in civil war with the Burmese army for over 70 years. The Burmese army have invaded their village, burned down their homes, raped their women, kidnapped their kids, and killed the men. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Karen people have abandoned their homes, abandoned their villages, fled from Burma to save their lives, and they've ended up as refugees, many on the Thai-Burma border, on the Thai side of the Thai-Burma border, and then in other parts of the world. As a matter of fact, there's over 6,000 Karen refugees that live right here in Omaha. The injustice, the darkness, the evil against the Karen people for the last 70 years, it's unfathomable. And that's not the way God intended it to be. And that's why we are for the Karen people. If you're new around here on Relevant, you've got to know God has called Relevant to help the Karen people be transformed by helping usher in God's kingdom with them. God has called us to help transform the lives and the communities of the Karen people on the Thai-Burma border and here in Omaha by relentlessly ushering in God's love, God's hope, God's peace, God's healing power, God's salvation, God's kingdom. And this is crazy for me to say, but I really do believe this to be true. I believe that together we can help the Karen people be transformed. I believe if all of us together are relentless about being for the Karen people together, that God will use us together to help transform the Karen people both locally and globally and bring life and hope and peace into their lives and their communities. And that'd be nothing short of divine. Now, globally, on the Thai-Burma border, we're focused on impacting the Karen people for Jesus in two primary ways. The first way is through orphan care. Because of the persecution the Karen people have experienced by the Burmese army, many children have ended up as orphaned refugees. Well, at Relevant, we're committed to help ensure every Karen orphan on the Thai-Burma border is loved, is fully cared for, and has hope because of Jesus. Currently, we've adopted and partnered with two orphanages. The first one is Safe Haven Orphanage. There's about 50 Karen refugee orphans who live at Safe Haven right now. Since 2012, Relevant has literally cared for, we together have literally cared for every orphan at Safe Haven and been Safe Haven's primary financial support. For the past 13 years, we, Relevant, together have provided every child at Safe Haven with the food they need, the education they need, the clothing they need, and the medical care they need. It's awesome. The second orphanage is The Refuge. The Refuge was started and operated by one of our global partners called Outpour. Currently, there's about 10 Korean refugee orphans that live at the Refuge. And for years, Outpour operated The Refuge out of basically a shack. Well, 5 years ago, God put a vision on their hearts to have a building so that they could care for more Korean orphans, but they didn't have any money to build. So 3 years ago, we together stepped up. And over the last 3 years, we as a church have provided all the funds, over $300,000, for them to build a bigger, better, safer building for the Refuge. And guys, this is so cool. It's almost done. And hopefully, they're moving in this month. And together, we got to make that possible. Praise God. Our second global focus is church planting. Listen, church, you saw what Jesus just said. We are called to reach people for Jesus, but we can't personally reach Korean people for Jesus on the Thai-Burma border. We don't live there. We don't know the culture. And the last time I checked, none of you speak the language. So we're focused on helping starting new churches in unreached Korean communities along the Thai-Burma border and within Korean state of Burma so that more and more Korean people are reached for Jesus. In 2020, one of the visions God put on our heart is to help start 5 Korean partner churches on the Thai-Burma border. In May of 2024, we officially helped start our first partner church on the Thai-Burma border with a church planter named Aku. That church is called All Nations Baptist Church, and this is so cool. Since last May, just 1 year, 23 people have put their faith in Jesus and been baptized through that partner church. How awesome is that? And this is actually really cool. On Christmas, this last Christmas, 800 Korean refugees attended their Christmas gatherings, and Aku got to share the gospel with 800 people on one day. Our first partner church is reaching people for Jesus, you guys, and they're doing it out of a bamboo hut. So recently, we together, because of all of our generosity, we helped Aku buy some land so they can build a permanent facility so that they can reach more Korean people for Jesus. Isn't that awesome, guys? Great job. Together, we truly are helping Korean people be transformed on the Thai-Burma border. But we don't just have a global focus. We have a local one, too, because as I said before, there's about 6,000 Korean refugees that live right here in Omaha. So I want to invite Corey, who's the director of our Impact Ministries, and a special guest named Manger to the stage. Manger is a former Korean refugee who now calls Omaha home, and we've invited her here today so you can hear a little bit of her story. So please give it up for Corey. And more importantly, Manger.
Well, for those of you who I've never met, my name's Corey. I lead our community impact and our global impact ministries here at Relevant. And with me today is Manger. Manger was born in a refugee camp along the Thai-Burma border. When she was 15 years old, she resettled to America with her family. She grew up right here in Omaha, graduated from Benson High School, holds both a, we got some Benson shout out here. She holds both a bachelor's and a master's from the University of Nebraska, Omaha. She's a Gallup certified strength coach. She runs the Kenya Academy, which matches mentors to Korean youth along the Thai-Burma border. And today we get to hear her refugee journey. So Manger, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I just said, you were born in the refugee camp. So can you tell us a little bit about how and why your parents ended up in a refugee camp?
Yeah, so a little history. My parents are Korean, indigenous from now Burma, but they call it Gothule. Before war, Korean people also just kind of got, they have their own, I guess, governing system. They don't really consider themselves part of Burma system. But after the war, in 1948, I believe, when the British finished the war there, they left the power mainly in the Burmese hand. And then that's when the civil war started, because a lot of minoritized community were not given the power they deserve. So they were, the Korean people pretty much being oppressed physically too. And so they started to flee. And then in 1962, that's when it got worse. There's a military coup, and then Korean people then had to, you know, flee around, and then they started movements, and then majority of them ended up in the Thailand-Burma border, and my parents were one of those people.
And your parents didn't know each other before. They actually met in the camp?
That's right.
Yeah, and they got resettled, or they fled and ended up in the camp in the mid-80s, so that's about when the refugee camp started. So these camps have been happening, or been going on, for operating for 40 years, 40 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah, so I remember, like, this picture was taken when the first one, it's in a Thai refugee camp, and then we got fire, and then we had to flee, and then we were carried by a semi-truck, where here you would carry, like, you know, animals, but they carry us over there to a different place to move, yeah.
And do your parents talk much about what's happening in Burma? Did you know as a kid, did they talk about it?
No, I feel like they're just, like, don't try to talk about it because it's very traumatizing, and then I feel like it's the coping mechanism is not to talk about it and just like try to forget about it.
Yeah. So again, you were born in the camp, you grew up there. So tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in a refugee camp.
Yeah, so a lot of bamboo houses, and then we were surrounded by a wire fence, so nobody could go outside of the camp to look for jobs. And so, I mean, when I was little, I did not know much about what other option I had. I just knew I had to go to school, I had to go to church. It was fun because we play in the mud, you know. And then, I mean, there's no like language barriers or anything because everybody spoke Korean. But now that I look back, oh, it was still hard because especially for my parents, you know, for older people, they have to worry about, okay, where do I get the food next? Because mainly we have to wait for humanitarian aid. But you don't know when are those coming and where, you know, when are they going to stop? Because even though the camps are called temporary shelter, it's not temporary anymore, you know, it's still happening now, even nowadays, and they cannot go home because it's not safe home, and majority of them just ended up stuck in the camp.
Yeah. So refugees that are living in the camps, they don't just get selected and then resettled to another country. It's an intentional decision for a family to want to be resettled, and then they have to go through a process. So share a little bit about how your parents made that decision to be resettled, and then what was the process like?
Yeah, so in 2008, we were given the opportunity to go to Sweden. And I don't remember Sweden or Norway, but I know it's one of those Nordic countries. But my dad was like, oh, no, I don't speak, you know, I'm too old to learn a different language, but I spoke a little English, so I want to come to the U.S. and then started a garden and then started a business because when he was younger, he went to a missionary school back in Burma. So, you know, he has that thought of like, oh, yeah, you know, the American dreams, right? But I had no idea what was that. So yeah, he really wanted to come here. So we had to apply. We wait so many years. Unfortunately, 2009 December. So before we came, we have to do verbal interviews, written interviews, so many like medical checks. Like you have to be healthy enough to come here. And then he was misdiagnosed by a Thai doctor. So he was misdiagnosed as a tuberculosis, but he had a cancer. So he was given the wrong medication for a few months, and then he passed in December 2009. And I just turned, I think, 13 at that time.
Yeah. So I'm so sorry for that. If you guys didn't catch that, her father, through the interview process, doing medical checkups, got misdiagnosed as has lung cancer, and he ended up passing away, which is so sad. And you told me that that actually happens frequently in the
camp. Yeah, it happened to a lot of other families too, but I feel like not many people are verbal enough to talk about it, because even my best friend mom also ended up dying because she got a lot of like bruises, like so many things in the back, she can't even move. But then, you know, we were considered, I guess, stateless and refugees, so you cannot even like fight for your right. That's no right. I feel like as, you know, refugees, you kind of have to like do what they said they would do. So yeah, but my mom was pretty adaptable. She loved God. She said, you know, the judgment belonged to God and not us, and we really accept everything and then move on with our lives.
Yeah, and when that happened, you were 13, and you didn't get resettled to the United States until you were 15. So this is a two-year-long process of them waiting to be selected and having to do the interviews and be healthy enough to travel. So that's a long process to have to go through. So you're 15 years old. You get resettled to America. What was that like?
We were first resettled in Las Vegas. So if you can just imagine, you know, coming from a bamboo house to a big city, I had no word. Yeah. So I got registered at Clark High School, which is like 2,000 students there. And my the resettlement agency, the person who took me to the school registered me as Korean. So, but I did not. I mean, I still don't speak Korean. I went to school. They introduced me to a group of Korean students, and I just stood there feeling embarrassed. So yeah, that was pretty traumatizing.
Yeah. And you got resettled in February. So you had 3 months to finish your freshman year.
Yes.
As a Korean student.
Yes, so I only had 3 months of freshman. I was enrolled in biology and computer class, so think about it. I have never seen a computer. So I was in the computer class, biology, and I remember, well, ESL class too, so those are my favorite. So it was hard, but I met a really good ESL teacher, so if we have any educators here, thank you so much for, you know, what you do. But she really changed the way I navigate the country because she had a coupon club. So I get to stay after school to help her with like coupons. So like, you know, cutting it, sorting it. But in return, she teach me English. So it's a win-win situation. So when we make coupon, we sell it. She go buy t-shirts. She give me one. She sell one. So it's a good deal.
Yeah. And then you had another couple that actually helped in that resettlement
process
as well.
Yeah. So my first American friends were Cynthia and Martin. They were from a former missionary, a return missionary from Bolivia. I believe they're staying in Las Vegas right now, but they really helped us navigate, you know, the city. So like reading mails, taking us to like the city bus, you know, because we had no cars. So yeah.
Yeah, some basic things that we take for granted that we know how to read our mail, navigate the city. So I'm sure that's super helpful. So you've overcome a lot. You've graduated high school. You've graduated college. What does life look like for you now?
As right now, I do consider myself a very blessed, you know, Korean American, Asian American, right? Because Omaha is home now, but I still do visit at the other home, which is refugee camp in Thailand, 3 times already, and I really want to, look back, and then I feel like this is my calling. You know, I do believe that God has a calling for every one of us here, whether it is to help in any capacity, and I do feel a calling in terms of education. So I started a Ganyo Academy platform online, which is on Facebook during COVID, because I was bored. But we host workshop, seminar stuff for refugee kids, and not just refugee kids, but like even the kids are at the border. And then I also realized that I need money to run things. So I started a business where we will be selling products to fundraise. And then eventually we want to help buy computers for those kids at back home.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're really investing back into your Korean community. You want to see kids on the Thai-Burma border that get the same opportunity or close to it that
right.
you have.
Right, because 99.9% of us are not likely to get into the university, like accredited university, just because we are considered refugees. But I do believe in the power of self-education, and especially nowadays with the innovation and technology, I do believe that, you know, if they have a computer, if they have internet, they can just self-learn, and hopefully it can help, you know, one person at a time.
Yeah. So when we were talking earlier, you told me that you feel like God's given you a purpose, a calling to serve others through education. Yeah. So can you share with us what's your vision for the future?
I really hope for the future that communities come together to realize, you know, how much power we have, and especially us as American, you know, we get to study, we get to go to the park, we get to go to work, we get to stay with our family, but in some areas, it's not possible, especially right now in Korean states, there's like airstrike everywhere by the Burmese military, even during the earthquake, you know. So I'm pretty sure there's so many things in the world that's happening. I hope, you know, we can look and see where we can, what we can do with what we have. And so number one, for me, I'm hoping that I can gain experience within entrepreneurship. So in terms of mentorship in education, financial literacy, and how to grow my business, that way I can help more people, because I really believe that the more you learn, the more you earn, and then the more people you can love. So I really, that's for me, and definitely for, you know, the rest of us here, whatever, you know, God is calling you to do, don't hesitate, because, yeah, people are waiting, right? And we have something that we can give, and then I hope you find the right community for you too, because, you know, the global world is smaller than we thought, right? Like, it's so easy to go now. I mean, for us as American, I think we can like travel. So, you know, come visit us in our village. Yeah, come see what, you know, our culture. Come visit. Come learn with us.
Yeah. So you didn't plan to start a business, but you end up doing that because you were bored during COVID. And now you need more mentors. And these are people that are going to invest in the next gen on the Thai-Burma border, and hopefully through education and help these youth and get them out of their situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Manger, I wish we had more time to really go into her story and share more. We just don't have that time today, but I want to thank you for being here with us today, being vulnerable with us and sharing your story. So guys, give it up for Manger.
Thank you.
So earlier, Ronnie shared with us our global focus of orphan care and church planting, but then we also have 6,000 Karen refugees just right here in Omaha. So we also have a local focus to serve the Karen. We want to help the Karen people be transformed by helping usher in God's kingdom with them right here in Omaha. So up to this point, we've had our primary focus of sustainable living. We want to ensure that Karen refugees' basic needs are met, that they're equipped with the life skills to move forward in a sustainable and healthy way. We serve with organizations like the Furniture Project, who provide furniture and basic household items to those in need. We partner with Restoring Dignity, who has a focus on education, housing advocacy, cleaning, and furniture assistance for the refugees in our community. They put together home makeover projects where we get to be the hands and feet. We get to help clean, repair, and improve living conditions for individual Karen families. And we just heard the importance of serving others and meeting these needs through Manger's story, and how what the impact it had on her that somebody came alongside and helped her, the ESL teacher, the missionary couple that helped navigate the city. Because of this, Manger was able to move from survival mode, and she is now thriving. But God's transforming work is unfinished. We felt like God was calling us to do more locally, so last year we identified a second area of focus that we're calling the next gen. We want to relationally invest in Karen kids and students to empower them to make wise and healthy decisions and to relationally share the gospel with them. One way we're going to start taking steps towards this is working with Manger. You just heard that she needs mentors to provide help on the Thai-Burma border. I'm going to be one of those mentors, and I don't speak Karen, so anybody can do this. We're going to have an impact on the youth on the Thai-Burma border and hopefully here in Omaha, and we want to serve Manger any way that we can. So these two areas of focus are just a few ways that we can help serve and transform the Karen community right here in Omaha. Now, Ronnie opened up this morning in Matthew with Jesus' command to make disciples of all nations and to go to the ends of the earth. But I want us to go back a few chapters in Matthew and see what Jesus says about serving others. So Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 35. And it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was sick. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous, those who are following Jesus, who put their faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So in this parable, we see followers of Jesus, the righteous. We see them serving others in need. They saw somebody who was hungry and fed them. They saw somebody who was thirsty and they gave him a drink. A refugee was resettled in their city and they welcomed them in. And this is what I want for us as a church, for this to be in our DNA, that as followers of Christ, serving is just a part of who we are. And this is actually one of our visions as a church, that we are a church of active followers of Christ, that there are no Christians simply by name. Now, Jesus goes on to say that the opposite is true for those who don't do these things. He says, you didn't feed me. You didn't give me something to drink. You didn't welcome me in. So we're going to skip down to verse 45, and it says, he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Now, the big idea here is not that we're saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. What Jesus is saying here is you can't have this vertical relationship with him. You can't say you're a follower of Jesus without having this horizontal relationship, without serving others. Jesus is saying that when we serve people in need, we are serving him. I think too often we view serving as giving up a few hours of our time. And my hope is that we would change our mindset in this and view serving as, man, I get to spend the next couple hours with Jesus. So, what kind of church are we going to be? What kind of follower of Jesus are you guys going to be? What kind of follower of Jesus am I going to be? Are we going to actively follow Jesus by serving those that are in need? Maybe you're asking, well, what can I do? How can I help? So, I want to give us all some practical next steps of how we could be a part of serving the Corinne. First, we can all pray. We can pray for the war to end in Burma. It's still very active. Manger talked about the earthquake. This earthquake, 7.7 earthquake, hit the central Burma back at the end of March. And in the midst of that, the military is still conducting airstrikes on villages, killing many innocent people. We can pray for the refugees that are stuck in the refugee camps. I mean, they've been going on for 40 plus years, and there's people that have a hope to go back home, and they're stuck. We can pray for the refugees in our city. We can pray for our partner church, Pastor Eku, that he continues to reach people for Jesus. Second, we can all serve. Every fall, we put on what we call Serve Day. We get our whole church to go out and serve in our community and serve the Corinne through different impact opportunities. Sign up for one of those. In fact, John talked about it earlier. We got Elkhorn Days coming up in 2 weeks. It's for us to sign up and go make an impact in our community where we get to serve others. Third, we can all give. Give generously. And I do want to say thank you guys so much. We are a very generous church. And so thank you for those that give here. Because of your giving, we get to make all of that stuff happen on the Thai-Burma border and here in Omaha that we shared earlier today. Through the Unfinished Initiative, God has made possible all the transforming work that he wants to do in and through the Corinne people. There are many ways we can give, or you can give digitally that you can see on the screen. For those of you who'd like to give cash or check, we have some giving boxes at the doors on your way out. And for some of you, engage. For those of you who are out there today feeling that stirring, that interest, maybe it's excitement, don't dismiss that feeling. Maybe God's nudging you to take a next step to follow him. Maybe it's join the Global Impact team and serve with us at our monthly impact opportunities. It may be going on a trip overseas on a mission trip. Manger, again, just shared the need for mentors, so maybe signing up, saying I'll do whatever you need me to do to help invest in the next gen. So if you're feeling that nudge, that excitement, that stirring, we're going to have a Global Impact team meeting this afternoon right across the hall at 12:15. You can learn more about the Global Impact Ministry And you get to hear more from Manger. So again, it's today, 12:15, across the hall in the theater. For those of you who can't make the meeting or you're watching online, you can scan the QR code and fill out the serving interest form, and I will follow up with you guys. So imagine if we all chose to pray, to serve, to give, and those of you feeling that stirring to engage, if we all took that next step, man, we would take a huge step toward living our purpose of carrying on Jesus' mission. We would truly help the Krim people be transformed by ushering in the kingdom of God with them over this next year. And we would experience Jesus' presence and power more, because that's what happens when Jesus' church is relentless about living for his mission. So we got one more thing before we close out this morning. Every year, we give our high school students an opportunity to go to Thailand. And so we want them to open their eyes and their hearts to God's people and to understand the different contexts and what they see in their day-to-day lives. We want to engage them in Jesus' mission to make disciples of all nations. They'll be serving our global partners, Safe Haven Orphanage, The Refuge, and our partner church, Pastor Aku. And over the last 5 months, they've been learning more about Korean history, culture, what to expect, and how they can best serve our partners. So we have 8 students and 2 adult leaders going on this trip. And before we send them out today, we want to pray over them. So Ronnie, I'm going to hand it off to you.
Awesome. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for putting it on our heart, whatever it was 13 years ago, to have a laser focus on being for the Korean. Doing everything we can to usher in your kingdom, both locally and globally with them. And Lord, I thank you for our amazing church and how our church has just served so sacrificially over the years, have given so generously over the years. Some of the things that we got to celebrate today just does not happen without that. And so thank you for our love for the Korean, for putting that on our hearts, for so many within our church just serving sacrificially and giving generously to make what you want to do possible. We truly do believe your transforming work is unfinished in the Korean people's life, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. Lord, I thank you for these 8 students and 2 leaders who are getting ready here in a few weeks to get on a really long plane ride, travel to the Thai-Burma border to spend time with our partners, to spend time at Safe Haven and the Refuge and with Aku, just loving on them, blessing them. Lord, I pray that as their feet hit that ground, Lord, that you truly bless those kids through these students. You bless Tosini. You bless Chom. You bless Aku. Lord, I pray that the 2 weeks they are there, Lord, I pray that they act, they live out, be in your hands and feet, and everyone they interact with experiences you because of them and is drawn to you because of them. I pray you just keep their ears open and their eyes open, sensitive to the Holy Spirit and however you would lead. I pray they follow you. And Lord, I also pray that you do a transforming work in them while they're there. I know you want to transform them, every single one of them, more into everything you created them to be. So Lord, whatever you want to do in them, while they're spending those 2 weeks there, I pray you do it. I pray they fall more in love with you, Jesus. They fall more in love with your mission. And Lord, they end up just looking more like you because of this trip. And Lord, we want to pray for protection and safety. And yeah, Lord, I do pray they're protected and safe. One of my daughters is going to be on this trip, and I would like to see her come home. But more so, more than keeping them protected and safe, we pray that through them, your kingdom come and your will be done. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to help you stay informed about opportunities for you or your family to stay connected at Relevant. The best way to do that is by getting you on our email list. Just text the word connected to 55444 and we'll get you added to that list. Lastly, at Relevant, we believe that generosity generates transformation. If you feel led to support the work that God is doing in and through Relevant, there are multiple ways that you can give digitally. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.